Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Nun Ched Amud Bet, 11 lines up from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan. So here the Gemara is discussing until this point about what goes first, what's the order, what are the hours, but underlying that was an assumption that we knew exactly what should go before what. And now the Gemara is going to discuss how do we know what should precede what? What are the limudim from the psukim? Which is Tanu Rabbanan. Minayin shelo yehi davar kodem l'tamid shel shachar. How do we know the fact that nothing should go before the tamid shel shachar? Tamud Omar, the pasuk says, "Varech aleha haula." So here you have a pasuk that's brought from the Parshat Trumat HaDeshen. In the Parshat Trumat HaDeshen, it says, "Varech aleha haula." Then you're going to set up the ula on it. My Talmudah, what's the limud from here that you know that that means that the tamid shel shachar is first? So Amarava ha ula, ula rishona. So here you have what otherwise known as the Hei Yidia, that it says ha ula, the ula. So what is the olah that is going to go on top of the maracha? Well, the olah is the first olah. Which one's the first olah? That's the tamid shel shachar. So it says here that the first thing that goes on the maracha is the tamid shel shachar. So from there we know that the tamid shel shachar is the first thing that ends up on the mizbeach. Then we have the secondary question, which is, minayin dein davar karev achar tamid shel ben arbaim. We know that everything has to come after the tamid shel shachar. How do we know that everything has to precede the tamid shel ben arbaim? Because the pasuk says there again in Parshat HaDeshen, "Biktir aleha chelvei hashilamim," and you will place upon it the fats of the shlamim. My Talmudah. What is the limud here? So Amar Abayi aleha shlamim. On it, referring to the ola or the ola rishona, you should have all the fats of the shlamim. Velo achaver ta shlamim. Anana's partner, his friend, the shlamim, the partner of the tamid shel shachar, is the tamid shel ben arabayim. That means all the fats of the shlamim should end up on the first ola. Matkiv la Rava. Rava says, wait a minute. Ema shlamim hu to nakriv, haolot nakriv. You're narrowing the meaning or the definition here of what has to be on the tamid shel shachar. You're saying that it has to do with the shlamim, the fats of the shlamim. Does that mean that the fats of an ola do not have to be on the tamid shel shachar? Maybe only fats of the shlamim. Ela Amar Rava, Rava offers an alternative understanding, which is hashlamim, from the word shalem, to complete, which is aleha hashlamim kol karbanot kulan. On it, you shall complete all the karbanot. That means on that ha'ola, that first ola, the tamid shel shachar, you will complete all the karbanot of the day. Meaning that after the tamid shel ben arbaim, there are no karbanot, because you must complete all karbanot within the framework of the tamid shel shachar before you bring the tamid shel ben arbaim. So that gives us the boundaries of the day in the mikdash, which is that all karbanot are going to be found between the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel ben arbaim. So that gives us the bookends of the day. Now, we're going to discuss, obviously, the korban of Pesach is an exception to that rule. And why is it an exception to that rule? Tanu Rabbanan, tamid kodem lePesach. The tamid shel ben arbaim precedes the korban of Pesach. The korban of Pesach comes after the tamid shel ben arbaim, which would be an exception to the rule that we said before. Pesach kodem lektoret, uktoret kodemet lNeirot. So as the tail end of the day, on a day that's the 14th of Nisan, when you bring the korban of Pesach, you would have the tamid shel ben arbaim, then the Pesach, then the Ketoret, the incense, and then the Neirot, the lighting of the Neirot, or the fixing of the Neirot, Machloket, and the Rishonim. So now, the Gemara explains, Yuchar Davar, Shnemaro Ba'erev Uben Arbaim. It should be delayed, we should push back something about which it says Erev and Ben Arbaim, which is the Korban of Pesach. The Korban of Pesach, in Parshat A, it says, Sham Tizbachet HaPesach Ba'erev. So there, you will bring it Ba'erev. And then in Parshat Bo, it says, V'shachatu oto kol kahal adat Yisrael ben ha'arbaim. So it has both the word Erev and ben ha'arbaim used by it. The davar, sheno le'amar bo, ba'erev elo ben ha'arbaim. That should be after the item that only has ben ha'arbaim associated with, which is the tamid shel ben ha'arbaim. Tamid ben ha'arbaim, we know that the pasuk tells us, et hakeves ha'sheni taseh ben ha'arbaim. So there we only have ben ha'arbaim. So by Pesach we have both ben ha'arbaim, plus we have ha'erev. So that would tell us to be later than just the item that is ben arabayim, the tamid shel ben arabayim. So Gemara says, Yehochi, if that's the case, ketoret v'neirot nami nikad mu the Pesach. If that's the case, then the ketoret and neirot should also precede the Pesach. Uchar davar shneiro be'erev u'ben arabayim. You should delay, tarry with the item that has erev and ben arabayim in the korban of Pesach. The davar should go ner barabo elo ben arabayim bilvad. Versus the item that has ben arabayim associated, which is the neirot. The halata neirot is done ben harbaim. Also, you only have the word ben harbaim using there, not erev. So if that was true, if that is the limud, why isn't Korban Pesach the last thing brought? Why do we have it here? It's after the Tamid Shu Ben Arbaim, but still precedes the Neirot and the Torah. Shani Otam, Shmeit Rachmono. But there we have a mute in the Pasuk, which is Oto. Titania. Pasuk says, Mi Erev Ad Boker, Irochato Oronu Vanav, Mi Erev Ad Boker, they place it on the Mizbeach. When it speaks about Menorah in the beginning of Parashat Tosafot, it says, Mi Erev Ad Boker. Tein La Midata, Shedei Doleke, Mi Erev Ad Boker. You have to give enough oil in it, that it should light from night until morning. Devar acher. In the chavudah shekshera mi'erev ad boker lezu bilvad. There's only one avudah which is kshera from evening until the morning, and that's this. My tama. Why is that true? Amar kra. Yerochoto aron uvanav mi'erev ad boker. There, when it speaks about the menorah, it says that they should place it on the menorah, they assemble it and light it on the menorah mi'erev ad boker. So now, Me'erev Ad Boker, this is the only item that's going to run from night until morning. I mean, it's going to be the last thing there in the night, and it's going to be the first thing there in the morning. So because of that, we have the Neirot be at the end of the day. Oto, Me'erev Ad Boker, Ve'in Tavar Acher, Me'erev Ad Boker. And that's that limud of Oto. Oto, it, the Neirot, are the only item that goes Me'erev Ad Boker, the last thing in the Migdash and the first thing in the morning. There's no other mitzvah that's going to intervene between the Neirot at night and the Neirot in the morning. Now, what about the ktoret? V'itkesh ktoret l'neirot. And the ktoret has a hekesh between it and the neirot, and that is because of the pasuk, which is found at the end of Parashat Tetzaveh. The end of Parashat Tetzaveh, when it talks about the Mizbeach HaZahav and Haktarat HaKtoret, it says over there, uvahalot aronet aneirot ben arbaim yaktiranu. Then when do you bring the ktoret? At the time that aronu v'nav bring the neirot. So there's an association between the neirot and the ktoret. They are have a hekesh, they're juxtaposed in time and in the pasuk, and therefore you would bring the ktoret at the same time that you bring the neirot, or you'd like the neirot. V'tanya kikushian. We actually have a braita that is like our question. Tamid kodem the ktoret. Ktoret kodemet le neirot. Unerot kodmot le pesach. So we have a braita actually, based on our question, actually follows what we thought might have been the case, which is you first have the tamid shel ben arbaim, then you have the ktoret, then the neirot, and then you have the pesach. So then you have Pesach being absolutely the last thing. Vakti voto. What about the oto that we had in our limo that rejected that understanding from the Braita? That oto comes to exclude any other avuda shibinifnim. The neirot of the menorah, as well as the ktoret, are avuda that are done in the heichal. That's not a avodah that's done on the mizbeach achitzon, on the outer mizbeach, the courtyard mizbeach, the mizbeach of the chatzer, but rather in the inner sanctum, in the heichal. So if that's the case, the oto is only exclusionary of avodah done inside of the heichal. It's not exclusionary of avodah done b'chutz. Umaynihu, what's the only thing there? Ktoret. Tzakadat chamin, I would have thought, ho v'chtiv, v'alotaron et neirot, ben arba miyakti renu. When they put the neirot on, you should do the haktoret, eman aglik neirot v'resha. You would think, first light the candles. You would think then like the ktoret. It says no. The neirot will be the last thing that you do in the heichal. Rather have ktoret first and then neirot. Ela ben arbaim yaktireno alamali. So then what does the ben arbaim yaktireno teach you? Beidan demalaket neirot. Hey, miktara ktoret. And when you're lighting the neirot, the ktoret should already be burning on the mizbeach hazav. Not that you first do the neirot, then the ktoret, but rather the ktoret should already be in place and doing its thing, meaning burning on the mizbeach hazav when you light the neirot. And that's the association between the ktoret and neirot. Therefore, the order always is ktoret, then neirot. Whether in the first braita that we brought, we have Pesach, then you have ktoret, then neirot, or in this braita that we brought now, which is first you had Toret, Neirot, then Pesach, then in that case also, the Toret always first, then Neirot. Question is, where does Pesach fit in the story? And the first Braita, and the way that we asked our question was that Pesach end up between the Tamid Shben Obayim and then the Toret and Neirot. The way the Braita that brought that supported our question, which we rejected in the end, was that the Pesach goes even after the Toret and the Neirot. Taranan, in the Chad Davar Shekodem Tamid Shel Shachar, Elek Toret Bilvad. There's only one thing that precedes the Tamid Shel Shachar, that is the Ktoret. Shnemar ba, baboker, baboker. So there it says, baboker, baboker, v'gdam ktoret, davar shnemar bo, baboker, baboker. Something that has both twice the word boker mentioned by it. Dichtiv, yikter alav aron ktoret simim, baboker, baboker. Again, over there, by the Parshat Tetzaveh, which speaks about the Ktoret, it says that the Aron should bring a Ktoret Samin, ba-boker, ba-boker. So the word boker is used twice. The Dava Shanem Rabbeinu, boker echad. Tamid Shel Shachar is ba-boker. It only says that the Kivis Echad to say boker, it doesn't say boker twice. So boker, boker goes first. Ve'en lecha Dava Shemitakev achar Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, ele Ktoret v'nei rot. And there's nothing that comes after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim except the Ktoret v'nei rot and the Pesach. Now, there's an interesting case here, which is, Umchusar Kippurim Pe'erev Pesach Shetuvel Shenit V'cholet Piskol Erev. There's another exception to this rule, which is that someone who is missing his kapara in order to be able to bring the Korban of Pesach, since where an individual is on their eighth day is Erev HaPesach. For instance, a Zav, or a woman who's a Zava, Yoledet, people who, Mitzora, who have 7 days of Tumah, and then the eighth day they bring Korban. We know that on the eighth day, the bringing of their korban is ma'akev. It stops them from being in contact with kodashim or eating kodashim. So by the fact that they haven't brought that korban will prevent them from partaking in the korban ha-pesach. So over here, that korban that they bring on that eighth day is essential for them to bring the korban ha-pesach. What happens for whatever reason? They didn't or were not successful at bringing that korban in the morning. The Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is already brought. And now we're faced with an issue, which is, if they don't bring their kapara, if they don't bring their korban that is on the eighth day, they will not be permitted to partake in the korban on Pesach. What the Gemara says here is that we waive the isur of bringing a korban after Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim in order to allow them to bring their korban kapara, meaning the eighth day, or Mechusar Kippurim, we allow them to bring their korban on that day. Now why we say Tevilah Shenit is a din derabbanan. The din rabbanon is that anybody that has tum'ah for 7 days and then the eighth day brings a korban, on the seventh day they go to the mikveh, they become a tevul yom. Then the sun sets on the seventh day and they become a mechusar kippurim, but they had, from tevul yom, now they had the shkiyat hachama, which is, they have now had permission to partake in truma. So when they become a tevul yom, they still cannot partake in truma, but they can partake in maser. That's when they have gone to the mikveh and the sun has yet to set. Right? Once they have the sun set on the seventh day, then they're mutar in truma and in maser already. But they're still asur in kodashim until they bring their korban on the eighth day. The chachamim instituted that they go to the mikveh again before they bring their mechusar kippurim, they bring their korban of kapara. So here, this is what the brayta suggests over here, which is, so mechusar kippurim be'erev pesach, shetovel shenit, that he goes to the mikveh a second time, he brings his kapara, v'chol piskol erev. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that it applies to Mechusar Kippurim any time of the year, not just on Pesach. He can bring his kapara even after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Now, Bishlamo the Tanakama. So David had a good question. Just let him remain Tamei. That'll prevent him from bringing the korban of Pesach. He's kuding because he's Tamei, and he'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. Why not? The answer is you could do that, but we'd rather opt for him to do it on Pesach Rishon, and we have a dispensation for that. And what is that? Yavo asay the Pesach, sheyesh bo karet, v'yidche asay the hashlama. The ein bo karet. You're gonna have, here, you have an asay versus an asay. One asay is the Korban HaPesach, which is one of the two mitzvot asay that has a chiyuv karet associated with it. In the Gemara and Karetot, there are 36 Karetot that are negative commandments, and there are two that are positive commandments, that is Milah and Pesach. So Pesach is one of the strongest, we'll call it, assays in the Torah, which is that it has an assay that's associated with a karet. Now, the reason you cannot bring something after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, we just had the limud over here, which is, Victer Aleha Chovei HaShilamim, Aleha HaShleim Kol Karbanot Kulam, which is again a positive commandment to bring all the karbanot on the Tamid Shel Shachar, and not after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So now I have a conflict between two assays. So we know from other places in Shas that asay doche lo tasay. But the Gemara suggests over here is that there's also a concept called asay doche asay. Here we have an asay that is chamur, that is stringent, that is of a chiyuv karet, and that will override the asay of bringing the korbanot prior to the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Now Tosafot asks a very basic question. We have a principle when it comes to asay doche lo tasay. It has to happen simultaneously. I mean that when you accomplish the assay, you have to get also override the lot assay. So for instance, tzitzit, bikilayim b'tzitzit. At the moment that you're making the mitzvah of tzitzit, at that moment you have and you violate kilayim. So that's Asay Dochelot Asay, because they are simultaneous. The Asay overrides the Kilayim. What we won't let you do is accomplish the Asay and then have the Lav be at a different time. I mean, that the Asay overriding the Lav has to be at a simultaneous, a single moment in time. They have to be coincidental. So now, what do we do here? The Asay of bringing the Mechuser Kippurim is just allowing him now to bring the Korban HaPesach. So he's violating the Asay of Ashlama by bringing the Mechuser Kippurim before he's ever accomplishing the Asay of Korban HaPesach. So how could you allow him to take the Asay of Korban Pesach, override the Asay of Shlama, but they're not simultaneous? So here Tosafot brings two answers. One is by the Riva. The Riva suggests that they already brought the Korban Pesach. He was part of a group that brought the Korban Pesach, and they already brought the Korban for him. Now, he will be Yotzei if he eats from that Korban HaPesach. In order to make it accessible, or for him to have the ability to eat the Korban HaPesach, he needs to have his Mechuser Kippurim. So at that moment that he brings the kapara, that makes the Korban HaPesach accessible to him. He's accomplishing, it's making it possible for him to have that Korban HaPesach that was already brought. So it really is happening simultaneously. That's one. The Ri has a very interesting approach. He says that that requirement of it being simultaneous is only true when you have an Asay Doch Alot Asay. Because Alot Asay is more chamur. Alot Asay, a negative commandment, is more stringent. And so when you're trying to override Alot Asay, then you have this din of being simultaneous. But it's when an Asay Doch another Asay, there is no such requirement. They do not have to be at the same time. They can actually be at different times. And therefore the Ri says that the Asay here could be, first, you have the Asay of overriding the Asay of Hashlama, and only then accomplishing the Asay of Pesach, because that is enabling you to do it, and that's enough. By an Asay Docha, an Asay, you don't have to have it simultaneous, you can even have it be sequential in nature. Very big Chiddush of the Ri, but it gives us a different view of Asay Docha Asay versus Asay Docha Lo Tasay. So now we said, okay, according to the Tanakam, I understand why we override this Asay, because you have a competing Asay, you have the Asay of Pesach, which has Karei with it, overriding the Asay of Shlama. But the Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko says it applies all year round. My omed high Asay, my high Asay. Why is there a greater Asay in the consumption of Kodoshim, the need to eat Kodoshim, whether it's the Baalim, or whether it's the Kohanim that are eating the Kodoshim, which involves a mitzvah Asay? We've discussed this in the past, I'm not going to get into it today, about the Chakira in the mitzvah Asay of Kodoshim, as whether there is a specific mitzvah on Kohen, a specific mitzvah on the Baalim, or is there just a collective mitzvah to ensure the Kodoshim are eaten, but doesn't devolve on any individual? It's one of those two, but there is a mitzvah asay to consume the kodashim. So what is greater about this asay of eating kodashim? There is about making sure that there's nothing that goes after the tamid shel ben arba'im. So Amar Ravina, Amar Rav Chista, ocha b'chatat ha'of askinan. Over here we're dealing with the chatat ha'of, she'en l'mizbeach el adama. Because the mizbeach, with regards to a chatat ha'of, only gets the dam. So the restriction, and this is important in a broader sense, so I'll explain it in one second, is that the restriction here is Victir Alea Chalvei Ashelamim. All haktarot have to be done by the Tamid Shel Shachar. Haktara means placement of something onto the Mizbeach, on the fire of the Mizbeach. By the Chatat Ha'ov only has the Dam, which goes on the wall of the Mizbeach, Kir Mizbeach. Nothing goes on top of the Mizbeach. There's no Haktara of the Chatat Ha'ov. So that's not a violation of Aleha Shalem Korbanot Kulam. There's no violation of it because there's no Haktara. The Haktara is the only thing that can be problematic. And that's what Tosafot notes over here before. He says, how come the Gemara here never asks about certain items that come before, including the Trumat HaDeshen? His answer is because the only restriction is Haktara. The only restriction is something that deals with Haktara. Putting on the Marcha, on the Mizbeach, doing the Trumat HaDeshen. Those are avodot that go before the Tamid Shel Shachar, but they don't involve Haktara. Since they don't involve Haktara, they're not a problem preceding the Tamid. Haktara is only has to be in that bookends between Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. So because of that, the Chatat Ha'ov is not a violation of the Asay of Hashlama. And so because of that, he can bring his Mechusarei Kapara, he can bring it afterwards, the Chatat Ha'ov that he can bring afterwards. Rav Papa Amar, Afilu Teima B'Chatat Beima. Even with Chatat Beima, Male Umelina B'Rosho Shel Mizbeach. You bring the Korban and you leave it on the top of the Mizbeach. Meaning that when you bring the Chatat, you sprinkle the Dam on the Mizbeach, but you're not Maktir, the animal, on the Mizbeach that night. I mean, after the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. You wait until the morning. Now, if you wait until the morning, you have a problem of what's called lino. You're not allowed to leave things in the Mikdash overnight. If you leave them overnight, they become pasul. There is an exception to that rule, which is something that is on the Mizbeach, or touching the Mizbeach. Anything that touches the Mizbeach is given the exemption that it can be carried overnight to the next day. So what Rav Papa's suggestion is, bring the chatat, and when you bring the chatat, you will also leave it over until the morning by leaving it on the mizbeach. So you'll do the sprinkling of the dam then, that'll clear him to be tahor. He'll now be tahor and be able to partake or participate in the Korban HaPesach, but the haktarah on the mizbeach, you'll delay. You'll delay it until the next day by leaving the Korban on the mizbeach, and then leave it overnight until the next morning, and then put on the mizbeach after the tamid shel shachar. Mara says, wait a minute. Let's talk about the different mechusarei kupurim that we're talking about here. If you think about a yoledet, over there, yoledet brings a chatat ha'of. So in that case, that's not what he's speaking about. The zav also brings an oaf. The only korban, or the one who brings a chatat, is a mitzorah. So by a mitzorah, that's not the only korban that he's bringing. Now there's two. There's a mitzorah shir, and there's a mitzorah ani. Brings an olah and a chatat from birds, and brings an asham from the behema. The mitzorah shir brings everything as animals. That means he brings the asham, the olah, and the chatat all from animals. So the person that we have to be talking about here, if he's bringing the chatat, is a mitzorah. Talking about a mitzorah, that's not the only korban he needs to bring. It's not just a chatat. What about the asham, right? What about the olah? He has two other korbanot that have to end up in the zbeach, and that's what the Gemara asks. He goes, wait, ba'ik asham? When it comes to the other mechusarei kapara, like the yoledet, like the zav, like the zavah, when they bring a chatat ha'of as their korban, then the matching korban that they bring along with it is an olah. Now, as far as an olah is concerned, we could see the possibility that it would not be ma'akev their kapara, so we're not worried about it. But when it comes to the mitzorah, even the mitzorah ani, who brings a chatat ha'of for his chatat, still has an asham that he has to bring as a behema. And we're certain over there that the asham is critical or essential to the tarata mitzorah, because it's part of the whole process of tarata mitzorah. You take the blood from the asham and you put it on the ears and on the thumbs and toes of the mitzorah. There's a whole process involved in the asham, so it's clearly critical to the tarata mitzorah. And therefore, the Gemara here is focused on the mitzorah, because here we find a chatat ha'of, but not just a chatat ha'of, it involves another korban, which includes a korban behemak, the asham, which is going to present the problem.
Bishlam al Rav Papa, hainu damalino. Okay, according to Rav Papa, what do? You leave it overnight. El Rav Chista, ma'ika the meimar. According to Rav Chista, who answered that you allow, there's an exemption for chatat ha'of, what are you going to do? Again, by mitzorah ani, you have olah and chatat that are birds, and then you have an asham, which is a behemak. So the chatat ha'of he took care of. But he still has the asham that's beima, no matter what. The asham is always a beima for the mitzorah ani or ashir. Now, for the mitzorah ani, Rav Papa's solution is going to be the same one again, which is, just like by the chatat, he sprinkles the blood and leaves it over, the asham too, he's going to sprinkle the blood and then leave it over. So Amar Shikarev Ashamol. He brought the asham already. He finished with the asham before the tamid shel arba'im. He just didn't bring his chatat until afterwards. Vayika ola. So he said, Rabbi says, what about Ola? V'chi tema Ola lo me'akva. Let's just say the Ola is not me'akev. V'atanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher b'yochan Morocco omer, Shem shechata tova, Shemo me'akvim oto, kacha lato me'akvim oto. All the korbanot are me'akev. V'chi tema, so what do you say, b'shir karval oto? He brought the Ola already also. Why not? Mi karval oto, kodom l'chatato, Rishon. Wait a minute, can you bring the Ola before the chatat? This is David's question, which is, wait a minute, isn't there some order that has to be done here? The answer is yes. There is an order, which is that the chatat must precede the olah. Vatanya, we have a braita, it says, by the korban oviyoreid. Korban oviyoreid, which is found in Parshat Vayikra. Over there, again, it's a korban that moves with the economic ability of the person to pay. It says there, v'ekrivet asher lechatat rishona. You bring the first one of the korbanot, the birds, as a chatat. Matam alomar, what is it teaching us? In la meche to kodemet the olah, if it's coming to teach us that it has to precede the olah, varnei amar, the pasuk also says, veta sheni, ase olah kemishpat. The second one you make an olah. So why do you have to tell me the first one's a chatat, and also tell me the second one's an olah? One of those two is extraneous. If you tell me the second one's an olah, I know the first one's a chatat. Or if you tell me the first one's a chatat, I know the second one's an olah. So why do you tell me that information twice? One is first and one is second. Elazeb ne'af. It's basically a paradigm for any time you have an olah and a chatat together. The chol chatot sheikodmot, the chololot about imahem. That any time in the Torah you have a chatat and an olah, the chatat always precedes the olah. Vikaimalan, afilu chatat of kodemet olat behema. Maybe this would have been an exception. That might be when you're competing behemot, competing animals. But here you bring in an oaf versus a behema. Oaf versus a behema is a lower form of karban. So maybe I would say that korban olah should go first when it's a behema, and not the chatat of. We have an answer here. No, that the chatat shiu kodmo the chololot about, even by chatat of. Chatat of is going to precede the olah. So period. That's the rule. So Amarova Shiny Ulat Mitzorah, the Ulat Mitzorah has an exception to the rule, the Rachmana Amar. The Pasuk says, the Ola Kohen et Ola, that the Kohen will place the Ola. So Hela Ola is not the best lashon it could have used. It should say, Bet Ola Yale. What does it mean? That the Ola he will then place on the Mizbech. What does it mean, Behela Ola? That it sounds like the Ola is already there. It's already on the Mizbech. Vela Tola Shuhela Kvar. That it was already placed on Mizbech. So because of, now this is not the Chatchila. The Chatchila, we'd still want the Chatat to go before the Ola. But Bidyeved, by the Mitzorah, you can switch them around because of the Pasuk which says Be'ala. Hala means that the Ola can already be on the Mizbech, and then you have the Chatat going on the Mizbech. So the answer is, for Rav Papa, if you're bringing the Korbanot here, according to Rav Papa, you'll bring them all from Behemoth, and put the blood on Mizbech, and whatever you need to get on Mizbech, you put on the Mizbech, and leave it over till the morning, and then get on Mizbech, have a time shel shachar clear. Rav Chista, who says this is an exception to the rules, is the Chatat Ov. So how does he explain this case of Mitzorah? Well, the case of Mitzorah, he says what he did was, before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, he brought his Asham, and he brought his Olah. He was done with all the Haktarot before the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. The only thing left over was his Chatat Ha'of. And that he brought after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and there it's not a problem, because there's no Haktarah. There's nothing that goes on the Mizbech. Just the Dam, nothing that goes on the top of the Mizbech. So that's why it works for him, because he'll have the Chatat Ha'of be the only thing left over. And again, this is an exception to the rule that a Chatat always goes before an Olah. That's unique to Mitzorah, because of the Pasuk Ve'elak Olah. That you can place the Olah, meaning that the Olah is already on the Mizbech. She'elah Kivar. So I'm Rav Shem Barab Alorah Papa. Rav Shem Barab asks Rav Papa about his position. Lididach Tamart. Maleu Melina Barosh Hashem Mizbech. Kayamin. Wait a minute. I don't understand. You're going to just leave it on the Mizbech overnight? Ve'abdin and Milta the Kohanim. Da'atu B'yedei Takala. What are the Kohanim? How are they going to know that this Korban is not going to belong to go on the Mizbech at night? In general, they had tons of stuff that was left over from the day that they put on the Mizbech at night. That's the Evarim Darim. Ma'ariv is connected Evarim Darim, which is all the leftover stuff that needed to go on the Mizbech that didn't finish up in the day. They sprinkled the blood on the Mizbech. They put on whatever was supposed to go on the Mizbech. They put in overnight. They went on the Mizbech. Here you can have these items laying around on the Mizbech. And the Kohanim, when they see things lying around, they put on the Mizbeach, because they think it's from that day. So now they're going to leave it, and they're going to say, oh, don't touch this stuff, or they're going to have it marked. How are they going to know? You're putting something in place that's going to cause the takala. The Savrid Yomeyu, they're going to think it belongs to today's Korbanot. Vatu Dikture, and they're going to put it on the Mizbeach. Says Amalei, Kohanim is Rizim, don't worry about it. The Kohanim is Rizim. They're going to be aware of the fact that this is, right, they know how to demarcate these as being separate. They don't want the Mizbeach. They'll make sure that it's not a problem. Somebody Ravashi the Rakano, Vamila Ravuna Brady Rav Not and Rapapa, Paha Kamadua Miktere Emurin. Wait a minute, as long as the Emurim don't enter Mizbeach, Kohanim lo matze achlei basar. The Kohanim can't eat the Korban, because the Tanya, we have the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav that deals with the matnot that come from the Shlamim. With the Korban Shlamim, a portion of it ends up in the Mizbeach, that's the Chalamim, the fats that go on the Mizbeach. Portion of it goes to the Kohen, that's the Chazen Shok, those are the matnot that the Kohen gets from it. Then the remainder of the basar is given to the Baalim to eat. Those are, everybody participates in the Shlamim. So in the Parshat Tzav, when it discusses the matnot of the Kohanim of Chazen Shok, it says this, Yochu ye Kohanim Rashaim b'chazev shok kodem akhtarat emurim. You would think that the Kohanim get their matzanot from the Shlamim, and they could eat them prior to the Mizbeach getting its piece, which is emurim, the fats from the inside. You think that worked? Tamalomar. Biktira Kohen et achiv ha-mizbecha. And the Pasuk continues, Vadar v'ya chazev aron u'banav. The moment they get chazeh, they get it after Victor Kohen Techilim Amizbecha. After the fats end up in the Mizbech, then the Kohanim can eat. Okay, the fats are in the Mizbech, the Kohanim can't eat their chazeh. Shok, no problem, they'll eat it tomorrow. Why is that a big deal? Ah, come, the Kohanim lo achlei basar, balim lo mitkapre. As long as the Kohanim don't eat the basar, can't partake of it, they don't get kapara. Why? The Tanya. Vachlu otam asher kupar behem. This is by the korbanot of the Miluim. By the ayil, or the eil ha-miluim, it says over there, that the ron uvanav eat it, and it says, v'achlu otam asher kupar behem. So those that are going to attain the atonement, eat it. I mean, there's an association between kapara and achilat of the, achilat of the korban. When the Kohanim eat, the Baalim get the Kapara. And all we need here is the Kapara. This person is Mechusar Kippurim, and we need him to attain Kapara, otherwise he can't partake in the Korban HaPesach. So what are you going to say? Okay, he throws the blood dumb on his back, and he leaves the Emurim until the next morning. He leaves the Emurim until the next morning, the Kohanim can't eat from the Basar. If they can't eat from the Basar, then there's no Kapara, and we're back to square one. He hasn't done anything, hasn't accomplished anything. Since it's impossible, there's no other way to do it. They made it as if it's something that's tamei or ne'avad or lost. Meaning, what happens in a case where the items, the emurim, get lost? What happens in a case where the basar gets lost? Does that mean that the balim don't attain kapara? We know that the ikar kapara for a korban is the dam getting on the mizbeach. So we know everything else is just added benefits. It's the mitzvah. It's the chatchila. But b'di'evet, if the dam ends up in the mizbeach, then you got kapara. So that's true as long as something's missing. Meaning that if the chalavim are there, if the fats are there, or the emurim are there, they got to end up on the mizbeach, the kohenim can eat. Now, if the emurim are missing for whatever reason, then we can have the tzitz mimiratzeh, and we can allow the kohenim possibly to partake in it. Or, in a case where the kohenim, the chazen shok, for whatever reason are not there, and they can't eat it, then kapara is still attained when they don't eat it. But if it's available and they need to eat it, then they can. So our case here is a case where it's the equivalent of not being available. There's no other choice over here. We can't put it on mizbeach because there's an aseid hashlamah, it's blocking us. So what's the option here? To put the emurim on the mizbeach, that's not an option. So that's not an option. He attains kapara without putting them on the mizbeach. And that's big deal. Yochol nitme'u emurim u'shabdu. In a case where the emurim are tamei, or they get lost, lo yuvein kohanim zakim b'chazer v'shok, the kohanim will not get the chazer shok. Tamal omar, the pasuk says, v'yah chazer aron u'banav. I mean, this is the same pasuk we brought before, just it's not bringing you the first half of the pasuk, it's only being the second half of the pasuk, which says, mikol makom. They get no matter what. So the Kohanim get their chazen shok no matter what. It's just a question. If their emurim are available and can go on the mizbeach, they have to go first. If they're not available, then they don't have to go first. So therefore the Kohanim can get their chazen shok and eat it, and then the kapara will be attained. That you can imagine with the number of carbonos. Even Kohanim's rizim, they still, times that it happens that they get lost or that they're ruined somehow. Something happened that there was confusion and they got thrown out or something happened to them and they're no longer available. I mean, especially on Erev Pesach when there's so much going on in the Mikdash, you can imagine things got confused or there was some sort of confusion that happened. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Kahana Rami Ktiv. Rav Kahana says, I have a steer on the Psukim. The Pasuk says in Parshat Mishpatim, Lo Yalin Chelev Chagiyat Boker. You may not leave over the fats of the Chagiyat Boker. Ad Boker Hu Delo Yalin. You're not allowed to leave over until the morning. Hat kol olayla kulo yalin, but that means you could leave it all night. Uchtiv. And doesn't it say, v'kter aleh aleh ashlamim, that all the fats, aleh ashlam kobanot kulam, all the fats have to end up on the tamid shel shachar. So how is it possible that you're allowed to put the fats of the emurim on the mizbeach overnight, when they have to be finished on the tamid shel shachar? Hum motivla, he proposed the question, v'hum efarikla, and he answered the question, he proposed the answer. Tishin yuto true, when they were left over. Meaning that the only thing that has to be mizbeach during the daytime is the dam has to get on the mizbeach, and you have to have the ability to have placed the fats on the mizbeach during the tamid shel shachar. If you had the ability to do it, meaning that the korban was brought at a time when you could have put the fats on the mizbeach for the tamid shel shachar, then even if you don't do it, you can finish it up at night. It just has to be done in a time period where it was possible or plausible to put the fats on the mizbeach. That means, if you put the dam on the mizbeach after the tamid shel ben arbayim, since it's not possible to get the fats on the mizbeach now with the tamid shel shachar, you cannot put them on at night. But, if the dam is sprinkled before the tamid shel ben arbayim, where it was possible to put the fats on with the tamid shel shachar, even if you don't put them on, then you have the ability to put it on that night. So it just means that you have to have the accessibility or the ability and potential to put it on the mizbeach with the tamid shel shachar, but doesn't actually have to be in reality that way. It doesn't have to be actualized in that way. It can be put on at night. Now, Rami Le Rav Safra, the Rav, it's unlikely that it's Rav. It probably should be Rava. It has to do with the chronology of the Amoraim. That Rav Safra would have seen Rava makes more sense than Rav Safra seeing Rav. So it's Rami Le Rav Safra, the Rav. Ktiv, Pasuk says, Lo Yalin Nabukar Zevach HaGapasach. This is actually found in Parshat Titisa. It's actually the same psukim that we're bringing from before. There are three psukim in a row that end with the same thing, which is Lo Tefashel Gedi Kechalei Vimo. So in the psukim, when it has there, it has something to do with Sukkot, something to do with Pesach, and something to do with the Bikurim or Shavuot. So in the first pasuk it says, Lo Yalin Chelv Chagiyat Boker, and Chazal later on in our Masechta Gedashin, that has to do with the Chagigat Tedvav, or to do with the Korban Chagiyah that comes with the Korban HaPesach. Then over here, Lo Yalin Nabukar Zevach Chag HaPasach is the Pasuk that replaces that Pasuk in the series in Kitisa. So you have the three Pasukim found in Mishpatim, and now we're bringing the ones from Parsha Kitisa, and this is the Pasuk that replaces that one, which is Lo Yalin Nabukar Zevach Chag HaPasach. You may not leave the Pesach over the morning. Nabukar Hu Delo Yalin HaKol Alayla Yalin. You can leave it over till the morning, but at night you can put it on. V'aktiv Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato. And don't we have a principle that Ola of a Shabbat can be brought on Shabbat itself? V'lat chol b'Shabbat, but you can't bring the Ola of chol on Shabbat. V'lat chol b'Yom Tov, and you can't bring a winged korban on Yom Tov. That means on Erev Shabbat, when they brought all the korbanot, they had to get everything on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. Because anything that was brought on Friday could not be put on the Mizbeach at night. It happens to be that the Aruch HaShulchan brings this down, Alocha, to justify the minhag of the people who are davening Ma'ariv early on Friday afternoon. It says, what is this business that you're davening Ma'ariv Tarte de Satre? Like in America, where they have 7 o'clock minyan, they daven mincha, and all of a sudden they're davening in Ma'ariv. Nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda at Plag HaMincha, nothing to do with Shkia, they're just davening Ma'ariv. He goes, where does this minhag come from, davening Ma'ariv before Zman Shkia on Erev Shabbat? He says it's from this halacha. This halacha says that anything to do with Erev Shabbat had to be brought before Shabbat started. That means, what is Ma'ariv Keneged? Ma'ariv is Keneged the Varim Terim, the Karmanot that are put on his Beach overnight. That's only true on a regular weekday. But you could take the Karmanot during that day and then bring them at night on the Mizbeach. On Erev Shabbat, that's not true. Everything that was brought on Erev Shabbat had to be put on Mizbeach before Shabbat. That means that the Varim Terim all ended up on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. That means maybe Ma'ariv should be prior to Shabbat as well, because it's Keneged the Varim Upterim. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's justification for the practice of people davening Ma'ariv early. Like, obviously, I don't think he thinks it's the chatchila, but a way to justify that practice comes from this. But the idea being that you're not allowed to take something from Chol on Shabbat. Now, over here, once Erev HaPesach is Chol. That night is Yom Tov. So what now? You left over the chalavim or the emurim from the Korban Pesach, and now you're putting them on at night. Wait a minute. The Korban Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach, which is Chol, and now you're putting them on the Mizbeach at night, which is Yom Tov. How could you do that? The Pasuk says, you may not bring an Olah of Chol on Yom Tov. It also says you're allowed to have the Korban Pesach go on the Mizbeach all night. So now I have a problem here between these two Pesukim. There's a stirah, there's a contradiction between the Pesukim. One tell me I can put the Pesach on all night. The other one tell me if you have a Korban that was on a weekday, you can't put it on Yom Tov at night. So there's no problem. This question was already posed by Rabbi Ava Bar Chia, the Rabbi Avao. And he answered him, we're dealing with Erev Pesach that was Shabbat. So Erev Pesach that was Shabbat, the Korban HaPesach is Doche Shabbat. So now on Erev Pesach, that Shabbat, you bring the Korban HaPesach to Chalvei Shabbat, Krevim B'Yom Tov. When it comes to the Chalavim of Shabbat, they all do go on Yom Tov because they are more chamor, it's more kodesh, and therefore the chalavim of Shabbat can be brought on Yom Tov. So if that's the case, I have a solution to my problem. It's Erev Pesach on Shabbat, Erev Pesach is on Shabbat, and then that night's Yom Tov, that I can bring the Korban Pesach all night. So this pasuk that says, V'lo yalin laboker zevach al pasach, implying that you can bring the Korban Pesach all night, that's in that one instance where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat. Then that's true. Otherwise, you have the other pasuk, which is Olat Shabbat b'Shabbatot, which will restrict you from bringing the Korban Pesach on the night of Pesach. Amalei mishom chavei Shabbat krevim b'yom tov anor nikev neimalei da'ai krab b'basa shkoyot b'Shabbat hu dichtiv. You're telling me that pasuk lo yalein the Boker Zevach HaPesach is now that narrow case where the one instance where you see that chavei Shabbat can be brought on Yom Tov, that's the one instance where that pasuk is true? The pasuk seems to say in a generic sense. Doesn't say it limited to a case where Erev Pesach is Shabbat. Amalei, shavke dekra. Dehu, dachik, umuki menafshe. It says, what do you want me to do? The pasuk itself created the problem. The pasuk itself is a problematic pasuk. You have to come up with a solution. If you don't, meaning that I'm not imposing this on the pasuk. I'm not coming and saying, well, this is the interpretation of the pasuk. The pasuk demands interpretation because it's in contradiction to another pasuk that we have. So now I demand explanation. I have to bring an explanation. Then, yes, maybe it's a stretched explanation. But the pasuk itself demands a stretched explanation because it's in contradiction with the other pasuk. So it's not a solution that I'm saying out of the thin air. I'm bringing a solution to a contradiction, and therefore it's okay to say this. Now, there is one point to be made here. The pasuk that we brought was Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato, which says that the Olat Shabbat is brought on Shabbat, but not Olat Chol on Shabbat. How do you know that that also means that Olat Chol is not brought on Yom Tov? Yom Tov is more kal than Shabbat. Just because a chol korban is not brought on Shabbat, how do you know that it also means that an olat chol will not be brought on Yom Tov? Tosfot proposes this question, and he says that Yesh lomar da'atik Rabbi Akiva. This is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Says olat Shabbat they made al chavei Shabbat shekrevim be Yom Tov. That we learn from this that Shabbat korbanot are brought be Yom Tov. Mashmalei kra. How do you read the pasuk? Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. Shabbat, the first Shabbat, meaning real Shabbat, is brought b'Shabbato, the second Shabbat, which refers to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is also called Shabbat in the Torah. We find that Shabbat and Yom Tov are used interchangeably in certain places. So here, the meaning of the Pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva is Olat Shabbat. The Olat Shabbat is brought b'Shabbato on Yom Tov. So you see the word Shabbato there is meant to mean Yom Tov. And that teaches you also that Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato, the Olat of Yom Tov is brought on Yom Tov and not Olat Chol b'Yom Tov. That is one solution that he brings down, but just the explanation of how we get to this idea that Olat Chol cannot be brought on Yom Tov. I'm going to stop over here because the next Mishnah continues straight through to the Gemara.